no wonder. Everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and building construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Real Racing USA, coming back at you live from the Snook River Grill. Really got to thank the guys at Snook River Grill, Ralph.
2505.
Manatee Avenue East.
That's right.
Great. Green cars all out there in the parking lot, man.
Pretty cool. It's the first time we did this, and we're going to do it some more.
No doubt. Bill's on the phone right now with the Superman.
People taking pictures, doing video.
We're going to be pictures. On the internet.
Really?
We're going to be on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Oh, we're already on the internet.
We're way too much on the internet, man.
Imitator.
I'm telling you.
Imitator.
Can't spell.
Well, what a show we're having tonight, man. We, you know, TBARA in the house.
Sitting next to me is Mr. Paulie Milam. Imagine that.
And on the phone with us right now, the Superman, Dave Steele. Dave, how you doing tonight, brother?
Good. How are you?
All right, man. Up there in Georgia at the PRA show, huh?
Yeah, we're on the road heading that way anyway.
We got the TBARA in the house, man. What's it like, you know, you're on the road, I mean, all year long, sprint car racing, but you make it down here to run these TBRA races. What is so appealing about this club? Dave?
Did we lose you, Dave?
I'm breaking up a little bit. Go ahead. What?
Now, what's so appealing about the TBRA, Dave?
It just gives me, like, to come back and run with these guys. If nothing else, it gives me an excuse just to kind of split town and come back home for a little bit, hang out with my buddies. So, you know, when I'm down here, hopefully there's a TBARA race going on that weekend, and hopefully we hit that race up. I got a good group of guys down here to kind of keep the car going for me, and you know, they'll go run it if I'm here. If I'm not, they'll run it too. So, I got a pretty good deal working for me right now.
Dave, you've ran Busch. You've done some closed car racing. Why do you go back to the sprint car?
Well, I did none of that other stuff really panned out, so I just kind of always ended up back with the sprint car stuff, and you know, I'm having a lot of fun doing it, and it's kind of where I pay the bills right now, so. Having fun, making a living at it, so I keep doing it as long as I can.
Now, do you enjoy the changes you must have to make between the local sprint car here, the bigger sprint cars there, and of course the Silver Crown cars and other things that you run on a regular back and forth basis every other week?
Yeah, that is a thing about running, coming down here. They run the wing stuff all the time down here, and it is a good change of pace compared to everything they run up north is all non-wing stuff. So it is fun to come down here and put the wing on and run with these guys. It just switches it up a little bit.
Do you think that helps you any with the non-wing?
Not really. I mean, the setups are different from wing to non-wing, and with the wing, that thing kind of, it obviously plants the car a lot harder, but you can stand on the gas a little more with the wing, so it's a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of these guys will swap from, like we got Paulie sitting here, dirt to asphalt. You've never been much of a dirt guy.
No, I've mostly been, pavement's been probably, 85% of everything I do, although, we did do a little bit of dirt this year, and actually the past probably 4 years we've been doing a little bit of dirt with the USAC Silver Crown Series. We ran for the point, I believe, the last 4 years, and there's probably about 14 races total, and half of those will be on dirt. So we get on the dirt tracks every now and then.
So, you got a chance to run an Indy car. What was that like?
Those things are quick. I mean, it's, they got those wings on them and the underneath of them, they got aero packs underneath there. So those things are like slot cars. So it's, kind of different. I mean, the engine's in the back, which makes it a lot different compared to, what I was brought up on.
A lot of G-force?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of G-force in the corners and, heck of a lot of G-force when you hit the wall.
I bet that doesn't feel good at all.
Nah, that's been too much fun.
So how have you adapted to the new USAC car?
Actually, I don't really know if I really adapted yet. We did pretty decent on the short track stuff. On the big track, the mile and a half tracks, we never really, or myself, I don't feel like I really ever really adapted that well to it. So there are, on those bigger tracks, they use a different tire. They use a radial tire that I never really felt I got the hang of that well. So we got a couple wins. We won at Phoenix and one at Iowa. But that's on the smaller track. So we just kind of got pulled down and then try to get those bigger tracks figured out.
In the course of a season, Dave, how many different styles of race cars do you climb into?
Mainly just sprints, midgets, and the Silver Crown car. That's pretty much basically it. The Silver Crown, we did some dirt stuff. So pretty much, I believe, in 06, that's about all, pretty much all I did. You know, with the, if you throw the TBARA in there with the wing stuff, so that's basically the different classes.
You never showed up at a track with a buddy and he's racing a late model and you tried, maybe give it a shot?
No, I've never really ran a late model. I ran a ASA car back when they used to run V6s, if you want to count that as a late model. But really on like the local level, I haven't really ever run much late model stuff.
Hey, David, Paulie here. How are you?
What's up, Paulie?
How you doing, bud? I got your thing on the phone here. You sent me a text message with a picture on it. And I appreciated that. I saved you some bottle caps.
Paulie, down there, I've had a chance. Actually, I won a couple dirt races at East Bay driving for Paulie and his dad, Bucky. That was back in the day quite a few years ago. So I do have a couple wins down at East Bay anyway.
Yeah, you do. And I heard you mention that there. And, I heard you guys talking about, your experience on dirt. And that went right through my mind. We got an ASCS win in 96.
Yeah, exactly, and there was some pretty heavy hitters there, and so that was kind of a fun going down there and running that stuff. So I wouldn't mind running a sprint car at East Bay again. It's been so many years since I ran there, so maybe if you got extra cars laying around sometime, let me drive it.
If I do, you got it.
I'll try not to wreck it.
Yeah, okay.
Paulie,
if I do, you got it, brother.
All right.
Paulie's trying to win two championships in the same year with the limited sprints and the sprint cars at East Bay. He's in the top, I think you're number two on both, and
I'm in two on both. I'm 1 point out of the limited and 3 points out of the 360.
So hopefully he can pull that off. That'd be awesome.
That'd be a pretty good feat, one and two there. How space the putt down there, I wonder.
I'm sorry?
How many races you got left for the point?
Well, we got a 360 race this weekend, and that locks it up. It'll be done. Then I've got three limited sprint races at East Bay, last one December 15th, PRI weekend. So when I'm at PRI, I got to run back here and jump in the car. I'll have it waiting at East Bay when I get there.
There you go.
Maybe you can loan him one of those jets you use a lot to get back.
But they'd be not, I'm either going to end up winning. The only way it could really go is win both of them, be first in one, second in the other, be second in both. But whatever happens, it happens. I still get a trophy. So.
Yeah, he's had a lot of fun.
That'll make it all worth all the money your old man spent with that trophy, huh?
Yeah, it would. It would.
Dave, that made me think of a question. At some point in your racing career, did you get away from the fun for a little while and try to get into it as a business, and then you kind of came back to the fun again now?
Well, maybe just because... I mean, sometimes it does get grueling. It gets more like a job than it is fun. But, you know, one thing I just try to do is I just try to keep the fun, you know, even if it, you know, you get to a point where if you're not going to move up the ladder, you know, the older you get, you're probably going to make $1 million racing cars. So, you know, if you can just make ends meet, you can just kind of justify that by having a lot of fun doing it. So that's kind of, you know, what I'm trying to do now.
That's awesome. I enjoy that. Let me ask you one more question. That would be, what is your favorite TBARA race that you didn't win? Can you remember one that you just had a whole lot of fun with?
Yeah, I mean, they're all fun. I think, I'm not sure if I won one of those Dick Lee Memorial races or not. I think I've missed that a time or two, so that might be one I'd like to win.
Well, that'd be awesome. That's a great race. He was a great guy. He kind of really helped put the word out. That's been the one thing lacking, I think, sometimes from the TBRA is getting the word out about what's happened in the past, necessarily not what's happening in the future coming up at the races. But hopefully they'll get a fix on that.
He usually did pretty good at that, so you know, maybe that'd be one.
Well, we look forward to seeing you back here. Do you know if you got some, you know, time coming off here at the end of the year? You're going to be back in town?
Yeah, I should be able to make this Saturday at DeSoto, so hopefully I'll be there.
Cool.
All right. Hopefully I get to talk to him.
There you go. Yeah, well,
Dave, Lenny owns your sprint car. Who's some of the sponsors on that car, man?
Classic Corvette, Northside Propane, NGK Spark Plug, and I'm trying to think who else. I don't know, all my crew guys getting their car ready for the track. So
I was just thinking, he's got four different cars to remember four different sets of sponsors on.
He does a good job.
Yeah, it's hard to remember all of them, and some of the sponsors are coming and going constantly anyway, so it's hard to keep them straight.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by and talking with us today. We know you're on the road and keeping busy.
All right, Paulie, good luck.
Hey, thanks, and by the way, Tuxedo says hi.
Oh, yeah, that's my cat. So, yeah, throw him a fishbone for me.
Is it just me or they're talking code?
it's code.
Bottle caps, fishbone.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. The Superman, Dave Steele. We'll be seeing him this Saturday night at the Soto Super Speedway.
That'll be awesome. Thanks, David.
Bill, let's keep this thing rolling. Yeah. Why don't we get somebody up here with Paulie.
With Paulie.
Paulie, pick somebody.
I want to talk to Paulie about...
Just grab somebody up here, and I got to...
Joey, come on, Joey.
Bill, hang that thought a minute. I want to ask a dumb fan question.
Go ahead.
Dumb fan question? Who are you going to ask?
Yeah. I'm going to ask these two guys.
Make sure that microphone's working good, because I think the bottom's kind of loose.
So, you know, Paul, you're kind of promotion-oriented kind of guy. You're always coming to these kind of things, and any chance you get to promote yourself, you are. Like, when you guys go to, when TBRA guys, you guys come into a track, like, are you aware of the sort of mystique and the fan deal that comes along to see you? Are you really aware of that, or are you guys like in your own little world and like you're just thinking about your car and stuff? You know what I mean?
Well, sure, Jack. I know what you're saying. Absolutely, I'm very fan oriented. A lot of drivers aren't, but I am. An autograph session out on the front stretch before a big race, TBARA pushes that a lot, and we've done quite a few Halloweens there and had a ball. When I run dirt at East Bay, any chance I get to go up in the stands, even walking through, you know, if I get a little bored between a heat race and a feature, I'll walk through. Not all the time, but it's all about the fans.
Right.
You don't put the fans in the stands. You know, I just wish that, you know, sprint car racing was more, you know, advertised and promoted. I know that there's people out there that don't realize we run these cars here in the South. You know, we know how big they are in the North.
Right.
But
yeah, go ahead, there.
Yeah, fan-oriented, absolutely.
Joey Aguilar, ladies and gentlemen, joining us.
Yeah, go ahead, Joey. This is Joey the Ace Aguilar. Yeah, I think when it comes back to it, when you notice the fans are into it, as soon as we get there, of course, because some of them show up early to see us drive in there. Some of them are over there before the race practice even starts. But I think the biggest time I notice, and I think a lot of drivers would say, is the four abreast. The whole grandstand, people standing, sitting in the concession stand lines, they all go crazy when they see the four abreast. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely feel it from the beginning to the end of the night with the fans.
I agree with that four abreast. That four abreast gets them going. And that's a show.
I heard it crackling.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome, awesome sight to see the four abreast salute to the fans, and that's the thing that you gotta make sure that the track you've gone to is doing just that, making sure that they're being well aware that you are doing a salute to the fans and not necessarily
here.
A salute to yourself and having some fun. Yeah, Henry's not here. Just move. There you go. So it's just one of those things that is a cool deal. Now, how long does it take to teach, like, the young guys to teach this thing to them so they don't run over each other?
Well, to speak real quick about those guys that were just up here earlier, Eric and Michael Smith, those guys are doing an amazing job of not being too aggressive, not being too patient, but pitting in what they need to do not to get in the way. And Michael showed very capable of winning a race at any time. And Eric, he's on probably a little slower of a pace, but, I mean, you know, not saying that he's slow, but, I mean, he's doing it a little more of a gradual thing instead of going quicker, as maybe Michael's maybe a little bit quicker there.
But Michael had the year last year raced on the
And the big thing there, too, you need to remember, Michael drives for somebody, Eric drives for his dad, so if sometimes, you know, if you don't have a lot of pressure on you to pick up the pace, sometimes you tend to be a little more safer than to be aggressive.
Well, I know that all of you guys, I mean, the whole 67 that have run so far this year, that kind of thing, have always shown such professionalism. If you've got a problem with your car and you're in the race, you don't stop on the track to bring out the yellow. You get off the track, let the race go on, because you're not going to be a factor anyway. So it's just an awesome, awesome program, the way you guys run it and the way you do it.
Yeah, we owe that a lot to, you know, our club, all the officials, Don, his family. They're all doing a great job. It's like Don said, it's a tough position to be in. There's a lot of tough calls that come in, but I've seen in the last year those guys are trying to make some adjustments to a few things that are hard to deal with, and they're doing a great job at it. It's not an easy thing, and as long as we can continue to make those strides, I think this thing's going to go to the top.
Have you run much dirt?
No. I mean, you talked about the go-karts earlier with those guys. I raced strictly on the dirt when I ran go-karts, and I was very successful at that with classic Corvettes. Dave mentioned them earlier. They were behind me in the go-karts, and the thing with the go-kart racing now is when you race on the dirt, you're basically racing like you're on pavement anyway.
Yeah,
so keep the cart straight, don't bog the motor, and you know, let it rip.
Keep it going. But the one thing I was going to get to Paul in, I want to let him get away without talking about it, and that was the old days of going between the dirt and the asphalt and back and forth, and sometimes they used one car, and you had to swap bars and all kinds of wheels and other things. How difficult was it to go from East Bay one night to maybe a Sunshine Speedway or something the next night?
With one race car? That was a pain. And we're talking axles, bars. You had to change the whole front axle, make it, you know, and put three brakes on a car. Two up front and one on the inboard left rear. I got keen to that after a year because basically a dirt car could not compete with a halfway decent pavement car. There were a few drivers that could do it, that could wheel one real good. Red Stauffer for one. He could wheel a dirt car with a Jacob's ladder around there and put to shame, you know, a good pavement car.
Yeah.
I couldn't. After about a year of that, I said, look, if we're going to keep doing this, we need a pavement car. And it's a lot less work.
I understand. And that was one thing I talked to Don about. Well, now in this day and age, they're running so few races on the dirt for sprint cars, full 360s, at East Bay. Has there ever been any consideration to going back to that program of running both? And he said it just wouldn't be cost-effective at this point, he doesn't think, because everybody would want to have a separate dirt car. Not.
I could agree with that, because TBARA is very successful. When the club split and that happened, people went one way and some people went the other way. People went to dirt, some people went to pavement. I figured that it would both of them would have went to heck. the pavement... Pounders, TBARA, went. They started off with low car counts, but it picked up. And, you know, the TBRA is a club. It's a union. It's a show. They put on a great show for the fans. You have 10, 15 cars capable of winning a race at any given time. You have your field fillers, and they run out there. And they put on a show, like Joey was saying, the four abreast. People go nuts for that.
Absolutely.
I've heard
no doubt.
I mean, I can hear the stands rumble.
Yeah, and you know what? When you talk about the field fillers, I mean, those people, you need those. Because if everybody stays in the lead lap, stays single file, it's not a very good race. And to have those folks on the bottom that are learning, and you have to dodge them, plus you got to work around the guys trying to pass you and so forth, it makes it for an awesome, exciting race.
I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Well, let's not get into it. It's definitely an expensive sport. None of the car owners are making any money at this deal. So, you know, maybe some of them field fillers just might be, they don't have some of the equipment maybe some of the faster guys got.
Oh, I understand.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong there, but it's all about the car count. And like Dom said earlier, we've had great car counts. We got great cars, like Paulie said. On any given night, you got 10, 15 cars capable of winning races. The way our starting positions are, the way the inversion works and all that stuff, you got to work your way through the heat race. You can't just ride in the heat race. You got to work your way through the heat race to get into the inversion. And it kind of shuffles the field around on the start of the green. And if you're starting back there in the sixth row because you've been in top average the last four races, you better be mashing the gas and going to the front, because those guys start up front, it's hard to catch them.
That's it. It's an awesome situation.
Joey, you run into all the racetracks, just about the pavement racetracks in the state of Florida. What's the toughest one to run a sprint car at?
I tell you right now, I don't think that's a very hard question. I think everybody agrees with me. Ocala Speedway seems to be. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love a place like that. It offers a challenge because you can't set the car up because the two corners are so different. There's so much that a driver has to do in the seat of that thing. You can get the car so close, and then the driver has to take over from there. So I think Paul can comment on. I think most of the drivers here would say Ocala. Tighten up the seat belts, huffler down, and get going.
That's the driver's racetrack.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll put it in perspective for you. I raced there 30 times, and I wrecked 28.
That's it.
Turn four.
Four.
Not always.
One, two, and turn five.
Is there a turn four there?
It's more like a three. I think it's one, two, three.
Maybe that's my problem because I count five turns.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
And it wasn't any different when Ocala was dirt.
Yeah.
It's the same track. It's the same shape.
You know. Same layout.
Is there a track that you don't like racing at?
Nah, man, I love them all. Don't matter, big, small, challenging. Bring them on, New Smyrna. I love it for the speed.
You're here.
That's what it's all about, man. It's about speed. And you know, you were asking the young guys earlier. Of course, I'm getting kind of to that older part. I'm 35, but NASCAR is not exciting to me. I'm an open wheel guy. My heart's in open wheel racing. I mean, you know, if I ever got a shot, I'd love to try IndyCar or something like that. I mean, you know, NASCAR to me is just, you know, it's gotten a little too IROC style, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So
exactly.
Open wheel
cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, open wheel would be great, man.
You talk about New Smyrna. I mean, coming off like running an Ocala race, or when you used to run Charlotte County, and you go up to New Smyrna, that back straightaway has got to be an awesome ride down there.
Well, let me tell you, New Smyrna, you get going around about halfway, three quarters of the way down the straightaway, and that thing starts doing a little duck walk on you, and you know, you start thinking, man, something's wrong. But it's just the nature of the beast. You know, you got staggering the cars, you got the wings, and you're hauling tomatoes. It don't feel like it in a seat, but believe me, it wants to go left.
You know,
when you're running with the likes of Superman, Dave Steele, you know, there ain't no time to sit back there and eating brownies or nothing like that. You better be getting on the gas and going.
When I talked to Michael Smith a few months ago, he said, I remember him telling me that when you're going down the back straight at New Smyrna, there's something about like the billboards up there create some kind of, like they push you down or something.
I think it's the way the racetrack sits, you know. And I think the wind comes across there because I'm not sure the water or where that place sits, but definitely down the back straightaway. It does.
Like a wind tunnel or something?
We've been down there and it's been really windy and it's been really threatening skies and all that stuff. And it was a scary 25, 30 laps of racing there, man. That thing, you know, you're going down the straightaway. I call it duck walking. Some people may call it something else. But,
yeah.
I mean, you got to hold on to her. And, you know, that's why I say, you know, guys that get in these cars, all the guys that race in our club that's been showing up, they all can handle it.
What's the second hardest track, Polly? If Ocala's the toughest, which one's the second hardest?
I would guess out of the tracks that I ran was Sunshine.
That's the one I would have said, too.
You know, I could never, I could, you know, I mean, I, out of 20, 25 races I ran there, I got the push out of it four times. That was a pushing racetrack for me. I had run 5, 6, 7, 8 inches of stagger up front. Yeah. Sunshine, I had some bad luck in that place. But he was talking about New Smyrna, and that place is a blast. Don Reams would tell you that I bragged about that place.
Yeah.
And I wish I could have got back there this year. Yeah. I couldn't, but that place was a blast.
Well, Joey, you were going to say something?
I tell you, man, that's a good pick, no doubt. I love Sunshine Speedway. It was a great little track right here locally for us. We didn't have a lot of traveling. I know the owners loved it because of the expense so down. But I got to say, that's definitely would be good. Hialeah.
We
don't run there no more to drag on, but I'm going to tell you, that baby, she's a handful. I mean,
tried that one once, just once. You know when it rains there that the water goes to the wall, the outside wall?
I ran a bus there.
Negative 1 degree.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you guys not only bringing your cars, but coming by and sitting down and talking to us, because it's awesome. We got a lot of guys to talk to tonight. Polly, thanks so much, buddy.
Hey, you're welcome, buddy.
We appreciate it. Polly's always there for us.
Real quick, I'd like to throw out... thank you to my owners, Don and Dorothy Vinson, for giving me this opportunity again. I was out for 2 years and thought I was pretty much well done, but I'd like to thank those guys for giving me a second chance. I'd also like to thank all the owners and drivers in the TBRA for welcoming me back and giving me some chances. I've done some crazy things over the past, but we've made some adjustments here, and I think we're on the right track this time. And
good.
Everybody check out mashthegas.tv. It's a neat place to go to. It's got some racing videos from the TBRA. We got some vintage racing on there. Look forward to a lot more to come on there about reality and teaching.
They're in the house tonight. They're going to see your mug chit-chatting with us here. And your knees.
Thank you, guys. And thanks, Snook River Bar and Grill, for having us here tonight.
Oh, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much, guys. We appreciate it. Polly?
All right.
Hey, not a problem. Right. Thanks, guys, for having me on, and we'll see you again.
Your pops probably want you to say American Well Drilling.
Oh, yeah. We'll pump American Well Drilling and here in Sarasota.
What happened to the storage? You guys sell that?
What's that?
The American storage. Got rid of that?
Nah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wouldn't buy my wings. But anyway, I want to say thank you, even though I only ran one race with this club
this year.
My schedule didn't allow it, but guys, I will be back, and I cut my teeth with the TBARA. Everybody knows it. I will be back, and I go both ways on racing. So.
There you go.
Dirt and pavement.
Asphalt and dirt.
Love it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man.
All right. We appreciate these guys dropping by. Let's take another quick break, and we'll get some more of these drivers out of their meal and up here. We got Bo Hartley in the house. We got all kinds of guys to talk to and a gal.
CarNet.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNet.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNet.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNet gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 east of Manatee Avenue in lovely southern Tampa Bay, as they call it. They want to hear me. Hey, listen, we got some more drivers sitting down with us, and they threw me a curve here because I'm not quick enough to remember. He shook my hand earlier, didn't even tell me. But, name?
Troy DeCare.
You got to turn it on. Troy. Now I remember Troy. Troy DeCare, yes, the go-karter guy.
Something like that.
I called you, remember, World Karting Association, infield. It's,
short track.
Internet, yeah.
Bill Green.
Put that up close to your mouth.
You got that?
But I called the races for the World Karting Association when you were running the sprint carts inside Daytona International Speedway.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that.
That was cool. And I went with the Florida Challenge Series for 2 years.
Yeah, that time when you were actually calling the races, I think I ran like in the top five or something.
There
like
you
that.
Go. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I was going, yeah, it's one of our guys.
Troy, you ventured back a little bit to go-kart racing this year at DeSoto.
Oh, yeah, I ran a couple times out of there, had a little fun. Kind of funny story. I was driving home from my nephew's football game, and my buddy Dustin Chisholm runs down there at DeSoto and called me up. I said, hey, man, I'm coming around a go-kart. You want to watch? I said, I ain't watching no go-kart. I said, I just picked one up. I'll go race with you. And I got to the track, and I opened up the trailer, and it was a bare chassis. And me and him thrashed, and I got it together, put some duct tape numbers on it, and he ended up beating me by about 7 inches.
And that was a wild race, too, man. It went back and forth the whole race.
Oh, yeah, had a lot of fun. It was great.
But you and Dustin have really put on some shows over the years. It's been awesome. Hey, listen, we got Wendy Mathis, the first lady of TBRA, maybe? I don't know. You've been
the only lady of TBRA.
Well, I understand.
Only, yes.
Well, I wouldn't say first. I think there was some others, but anyway, it's just kind of cool.
First female ever win a race with TBRA.
Thank you. There you
go.
Right.
How many races have you been racing TBRA?
6 now.
6 years? Wasn't it about 6 years ago at Charlotte County in Turn 4 that you got in a fight?
Yeah.
Please tell us about that. Was that one of the Butler boys?
That was the good stuff.
Shane Butler, yeah. You was throwing fists.
Did you take him?
She took him to the ground.
Shane.
First time I ever saw her race, I was impressed.
See, Shane and his brother, the Pink Panther, just were too afraid to be here then because they were scared of you. But
well, we'll stick up for Keith. He actually is working. I'm not sure where Shane's at, but
Shane's at my house actually, working on my dad's car.
Oh, there you go. Shane and Keith, we both appreciate you guys what they do because they do an awful lot for the TV area.
But I will have to stick up for them. We all have become good friends after all that incident was said and done. So.
Oh yeah,
it's part of the show. It's part of the show.
You probably walked away from me and went, I like that guy. I like that girl. Come on.
Stop it, Bill. That's enough of that.
Hey, listen, what's been the toughest part of being the female entity in an all-guy sport, number one, and an all-guy organization almost? I mean, come on.
Really, being a girl isn't that difficult racing against these guys. I put my helmet on, I'm just one of them. So, you know, I don't see that differently. I think the fans treat me a lot differently. They're a lot more involved and, you know, excited for me to be out there. I get a lot more, you know, you go girl type thing. And just, you know, the fans really seem to appreciate a girl being out there.
What stepped you up into a sprint car?
I ran quarter midgets for 4 years from the time I was 12 to 16 and then ran TQs for 5 years and was very successful there. And then the next logical step was right into a sprint car.
Now, there's a lot of the kids, though, that go from the TQ midgets up into a late model or a truck or, I mean, and you know, the girls that are racing, like in the TQs and the go-karts and stuff, go up into a truck or a car. Why sprint car? I mean, was that just the appeal to it? Or
I think that was kind of a twofold deal. My dad has always loved sprint cars, and I never really grew up around race cars. I never was introduced to a race car till I was like 10 years old. We bought an antique midget and was going to Zephyr Hills and, you know, playing with the antique stuff, and just kind of one step went into the midgets, and the next logical step was the sprint car because my heart was definitely in the open wheel cars.
So when you got into the sprint cars, when you moved up into the TBRA, were you welcomed or was it tough?
First year wasn't too welcome. I think a lot of the guys just didn't know how to take me. A lot of them I had raced with. The guys I had raced with had no problems with me coming up. The guys I had no idea who I was. Like, where is this girl coming from and what criteria does she have to run with us?
Yeah, I was going to ask Troy the same thing. A lot of kids go from go-karting into sprint cars. Is that where you were headed when you were in go-karting? Or did you decide suddenly at the end, I think I'll try sprint cars because it looks like it's a whole lot more fun?
I think actually where I was headed was more towards the dirt late model, whether I had a choice or not. I happened to fall into the sprint car, something I always wanted to do ever since I was little, but pretty much my mom wasn't having that.
No. Your mom is the most intense woman around racing I've ever seen.
Yeah, she gets pretty excited. But, no, sprint car, I was actually just hanging out at Dirt Devil Speedway, and some guy that runs around with the TBRA still said something about driving a sprint car, and I thought he was crazy, and turned out he pretty much was. And I drove for him for about half a year until I got picked up with Stan. And after that, it just kind of, next thing you know, I'm like 2 years, 3 years into this, I'm like, I think I'm a sprint car driver now. So.
There you go. And did it come fairly easily compared to running the go-kart? I mean,
It was a little tough. I mean, it has a lot more to relate than a go-kart. I've driven a full-body car, and sprint car is much better. I like the steering's quick in a go-kart, steering's quick in an open-wheel sprint car, and the full-body cars, when they say taxi cab, they're nothing against them. I had a lot of fun when I did it, but they're a handful, and
they're heavy.
Oh yeah,
very heavy.
Have you ever driven anything else besides sprint car?
I've done a little bit of testing in a late model. I've done some testing with the IRL and an Infiniti Pro car, but mostly sprints and midgets.
What was it like climbing in a full body race car?
It was kind of boring. You let off the gas, and they talk about the car rolling in the corner. The car really just rolls in the corner. You know, in the sprint car, you lift it and right back in the gas. And with the full body car, you really can't do that. You've really got to wait for the car to catch up.
Well, you know, these guys driving the late models and stuff, they say they've got a lot going on inside the car. But you guys, I mean, you're adjusting wings, you're adjusting brake bias, and your steering wheel sitting there flat like this. And how does that just come naturally, or do you learn that?
Yeah, I think driving a car with the steering wheel up and down is foreign to me. That feels odd to me because I'm just so used to driving flat steering wheel.
I pretty much agree. I got in a stock car and they were putting the steering wheel on, and I'm like, "How are you supposed to turn this?"
Yeah, like, wait a minute, where's the steering wheel?
Wouldn't it give you an advantage driving a sprint, having been proficient in a sprint car? Wouldn't it give you an advantage driving a late model?
You would think, but you get in those things and they're so heavy. And they're so, like, the wheels, like, the tires are so skinny. Like, the first time I went in the corner, I went in, like, 3 miles too deep. And they're like, no, you got to lift back there. And I'm like, well, we run
lift.
The track. I know, we run this track, and we don't lift there.
Yeah,
you know?
It's lightweight.
Like, you know, and you're going in there, and
Tony Stewart don't lift.
Yeah, well, but a lightweight sprint car, you let off the gas, it slows down.
But, I mean, like, Dave Steele said it best. We were joking around one time, and he drove a dirt modified, and it's true. He said he was busier than a three-legged cat doing something, but I ain't going to address that.
Oh, come on. We could have made history here.
That's pretty much how it is. You're turning that wheel a lot more than you are in a sprint car.
It's awesome. And it's can you tell that? Have you run without wings at all, either one of you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you tell the big difference there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We ran Little 500 twice, and that's just... It's totally different. And then when you come back to the wing, you just are so much more gutsy, thinking, okay, well, I know this wing's going to plant me, so let me drive in about 15 foot deeper than I usually do.
Yeah, that's true. After
And it doesn't work, right?
Oh, no.
No, not usually.
I'll come back to you, but how was the Little 500? How was that experience?
You had a really good
finish
this last
that.
One, didn't you?
You know, I went up there with not really knowing what to expect the first time I ran it. You know, I see all these guys getting pulled out of their car at the end of the race. They're extremely tired. They can't make it. Or, like in Troy's case, 9 laps in the race. But, you know, my first year, we ran 469 laps the first time. We started 32nd and finished 11th. We were really, really happy just to be running at the end of the race. I didn't care how many laps down I was or where my finish even was. And then we went back this year. And our goal was top 10, and we were amazed we actually finished 9th this year.
Wow, that's awesome.
No doubt. But, I mean, what's that like, though? You know, you usually 25, 30 lap features, and it's nonstop 500 laps, pushing off, fueling. That's a lot of work. How do you prepare for that?
I didn't. I mean, I just kind of just went up there and said, whatever happens, happens. You know, we're going to do the best that we can. And believe it or not, to me, it was a lot easier. The downforce of the wing just takes so much out of you when you're driving that... To drive 500 laps in a non-wing car really was nothing. I got out of the car, and I'm like, let's go again. You know, the car was set up. I'm sure that if you're fighting the car all 500 laps, that it's probably no fun. But, you know, the 2 years we have run, I've been very lucky. The car has been very close to where we need it to be, make adjustments in the car as the fuel burns off. But it's really fairly easy to drive.
Are you going
to
do this Florida 400 at DeSoto Super Speedway?
No, unfortunately, we've decided not to do that.
Yeah.
George Rudolph actually rented me a motor. We'll be running that in his 68 this year.
And that's in...
December.
Troy, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
When you went to the 500.
400 laps?
You know what it is? 400 a little different?
Yeah, I'm taking her approach next year. See, me, I trained for a couple weeks.
What did you do training?
I ran
cardio?
I ran a lot. a buddy of mine, John Nervo, who ran Silver Crown cars for a while, told me to put some weights and watch TV on your side, strengthen your neck, and I didn't even get a heat race into it, and I was out. And
Physically, or just somebody else made a mistake?
No, I wrecked, and I looked at the video. At the time, I was like, man, that happened fast, and I didn't really, but I wrecked. It was pretty much my fault, and it just, things happen quick there, and, you know.
And you didn't do anything to prepare for your trip?
No, that's what I'm doing this year. I'm eating donuts.
Now, these girls got different muscle structure. They can probably run 500 miles in all kinds of cars.
You would not want to see me riding 500 miles. That'd be a scary sight.
How many more we got?
Two
we
more.
Got like two more?
I want to talk to Bill Hartley.
We'll come up here right now.
You guys stay right where you are.
We're going to go to a 15-minute break, and then we're going to bring Bo. We're
going to have a 15-minute break?
No, we got 20 minutes left. We're going to take a 2-minute break. I'm playing the same break I played last time, and I'm going to cut it short.
But it's not time yet.
Oh.
Crying out loud, you guys.
Really,
who's your sponsors? Who helps you with the race car?
I have to say a big, big thank you to JB Banta Enterprise Logistics. They have been an incredible sponsor this year. Not only a sponsor, but a big supporter. He really believes in me, you know, just me, whether the money was there or not. Four Star Wax Products has been amazing. Tantra Tanning Salons, D&D Crane Service, Eagle Jet International. We've had a great bunch of sponsors this year, and really I say thank you to all of them.
What race did you win? What was the first race you won for TBR?
It was November 9th, 2002, down at Charlotte County.
That's a hell of a race track to win on.
Buddy. Yeah. Oh, not bad. Not bad at all.
Troy?
Pretty much, it's pretty simple. My mom and dad, George Rudolph, that's pretty much it. Sponsors are needed.
Well, you guys, this weekend, DeSoto Super Speedway. We'll see you all out there. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Try to get on the front stretch. We want to see you talking.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right, Bill.
Wow.
Take us out.
Sure. All right. Don't go far, folks. We'll come back in the last 20 minutes. It'll be a fast 20 minutes. We got sprint cars.
Where's Charlie? Outside, inside, all over.
Bring them on down. You're the next contestants on Real Racing USA.
CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Do what now? How's that? Oh, closer, like this. Okay. Welcome back to Real Racing USA.
That was Bo Hartley.
Yeah, Bo catches.
He's trying to take our job. I don't want his job.
Nah, Bo. Bo's all right. Bo, how long have you
Bo
been
knows sprint cars.
How long have you been doing this, Bo?
I've been racing sprint cars, let's see, this is my 16th season.
16 years.
Are we back from commercial?
Wow.
Yeah, we're back from commercial.
Oh, very cool.
What's Bo Hartley brought us back.
Now, Bo, did you run any of the dirt asphalt swap over?
I've never raced a sprint car on dirt. Okay. Just like everybody else who raced go-karts, I raced go-karts on dirt before I went to sprint cars.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is a cool organization and stuff. You're 16 years, then you've seen a couple of presidents, you've seen a couple of things going on in the TBRA. What do you account the success of this organization to?
two major things. First and foremost would be Don Ream. He puts a lot of effort into it. He has fantastic relationships with the racetracks, the racetrack owners, some of our associate sponsors that come on board that help propel things forward. He's really made a big effort. He keeps in touch with these people and travels to the shows to meet them and keep them involved in the club. And the other part of it is you've just seen over the last several years the quality of cars has increased exponentially. It used to be you go to a TBRA race, there might be four or five cars capable of winning. Now there's 10 or 12 cars on any night that are very competitive that can win a race.
Absolutely. You know, I announced that at DeSoto, and I mean, this year the cream has risen to the top with the TBRA. The competition is intense out there.
Yeah, there's not too many junkers in the field anymore. We don't need field fillers anymore. There's a lot of good cars that show up to race, and most of the time there might be a few guys that have some problems that particular night, mechanical problems or whatever, but most of the time it's everybody on the track is fast-paced.
I've asked everybody that's been up here so far, you know, how did you get into sprint car racing?
Well, you probably know my dad, Sonny Hartley.
Right.
He started racing back at Golden Gate in 72, and of course I was 8 years old at the time racing quarter midgets. And we're a racing family, obviously. So I wasn't allowed to race in high school and college. And when I got out of college, we had a go-kart sitting in the garage. I started racing it. And quite honestly, I didn't really like that too much. I didn't like having no protection over the top of me, no seatbelts or anything. So I started talking to my dad about selling the go-kart and getting something with a cage. And next thing I know, he bought me a sprint car to race. And so as a kid and as an adult, my dad has supported my racing. I'm 42 years old now. He's still supporting my racing.
Well, you've seen your dad's car from way back then. What is the changes you've seen in sprint cars, the basic changes in sprint cars?
The high-tech has made it to the grassroots, basically. You heard Don talking about people messing with shocks and things like that. I don't think anybody has run a wind tunnel time yet. We've kind of rigged up a poor man's wind tunnel the other day, put some ribbons on the car and started a leaf blower and blew out and see what the ribbons would do. But you see a lot more of the technology that used to be only in the high dollar teams have made it down to our level. It's amazing how light we have these cars now and how strong they are, how fast they are. We're pushing on the 700 horsepower with a 360 engine now. And with a stock valve angle.
You know, the Rudimans used to say that they used to take their car. It was the only place that had one of those pressure washers in the car wash in Zephyr Hills. It was the first one around. And they'd take them down there and do just that. Watch the air go over that top wing and decide where they wanted to put it, how much downforce they were getting, and take it to the track. So you're right. I mean, that's the way to do it. You leaf blowers, whatever it takes, man. The poor man's wind tunnel.
That's right.
Jack, ask a question. You ain't have to damn thing.
I got to tell you, see,
he's still in the fog.
I heard him order a Bloody Mary a little while ago. I think he's still waiting on that.
I've been always in awe of these guys. You know, I was at Charlotte County Speedway a few years ago, and Don Ream was laughing at me at the end of the night because I went down the infield, and you guys, and so I stayed in the infield. And, you know, I've been in the infield watching races and taking pictures of Charlotte many times, but I never realized how small it was until you guys were out there. I couldn't wait for you guys to get done. I mean, it was like, it was overwhelming. And it was,
well, I'll tell you,
I'm always in awe of you guys for what you
It's like an ice skater when you're in the infield. You're watching one side, you go right around, watch them, and then you try to get back.
You know, because I can understand. I'm a race fan, you know, and I can understand. A late model, I can understand that kind of thing. Like what you guys do is something beyond, like, I can't get a grip on it.
I stood in the flag stand.
Can't get my head around it, man.
And announce the race from the flag stand? Never again.
Oh, it's just...
It'll lift you off the ground.
Cool.
Well, for one thing, they look like they're coming at you when they come out of turn four.
I told somebody...
The other thing is the sandblasting they give you. I don't know how wild that stands up there. You must lose... Way to go, Jack. You don't need
When
that
I had Short Track
wall.
USA, I went up in the flag stand at East Bay for the start of the Winter Nationals one time to take a picture. All I wanted was a picture of them coming off the corner, and it almost blew the camera out of my hand. It blew my hat off into the crowd, and all kinds of stuff happened.
It takes your breath away.
Yeah, absolutely.
It literally takes your breath away.
Well, I heard a lot of people who have seen sprint cars for the first time or hadn't been up close to them say the same thing you said. They're just amazed how fast they are compared to some of the other classes we see running at the racetracks. But those of us that have driven them for a while, we're used to it.
Yeah, but you guys do like 11-second laps. Crap. I mean,
yeah, like when I watch TBARA races, it's like I'm not watching the race so much. It's like just an experience to see the whole totality of the whole thing.
I got a new question for you, Bo, and that would be, when's a track get too big? When does it get too long and you get too fast?
Well, just I'll relate a story. Several years ago, when the new Lakeland Speedway was built, that's a three-quarter mile track, they started talking about maybe staging a winged sprint car race there. And I said, no way. We're already going to New Smyrna's the biggest track we race on. We're already almost hitting 140 there. And unfortunately, some of us have had the experience of hitting the wall going that fast, and it hurts. And so a place like Lakeland, it's half again as long. Our top speeds there probably approach 160, 170. And then with a wing on it, if you spin the car around backwards, you probably lift it off the ground and put it over the top of the top row of the fence. So we voted that down pretty quick. So to answer your question, I think New Smyrna Speedway, the half-mile track we run on with the wing, is about as fast as most of us want to go in a sprint car.
Wow. Because I know, I think it was, wasn't it Kenny Adams did the testing at Lowe's? And he said he went 155 and he just didn't like it. He just plain didn't like it.
I know he went and ran a wing car at Bristol. They were talking about maybe running some wing sprint car races at Bristol back when they were trying to get more shows
maybe
in there.
Maybe that's where it was. But he's,
and I haven't talked to Kenny about that experience, but I'm sure it was pretty quick.
That's it, man. What's your favorite track?
I've had my best in the last two or three years, my best success at Ocala. I've always enjoyed that track. And I like Citrus, believe it or not. A lot of people don't like it because it's a little tight track, but it's a very racy track. It's a track where you can run side by side, and you really have to drive the car there. You can't just put it on cruise control.
So you like the two tougher ones.
I guess. To me, racing's all about driver. And even though we have to have a lot of car runners, I like to go to a track where the driver can make a difference. And so that's why I like those kind of racetracks there.
Now, your dad always looked like he was having a lot of success, even with the old chassis in the later years here, at Sunshine Speedway and places yes. like that. He could get that thing to turn those old tracks.
Yeah, that some people have a natural feel, and I think my dad's one of those. I've seen him jump in cars I thought were junk that I wouldn't want to drive and win features in them. Unfortunately, I didn't quite get all the talent he has, but he goes to a place like that where you really have to feel what the car is doing and be a little more judicious with your right foot. And he seemed to be able to hook it up pretty good and find what the car wanted and get it around.
Well, you ran a little 500.
Yes.
What was your experience like?
My first year there, like Wendy said in her first experience, I just wanted to finish the race. I didn't want to get in anybody's way. I didn't know what I had compared to some of those guys that raced up there a lot. And I wanted to get through it and see what it was all about. And fortunately, we did finish the race. We had a little engine trouble partway through the race. We were overheating, and I got several laps down, but we were still running at the end, and I outlasted all the other rookies and won Rookie of the Year that year. I've only been in it two other times and crashed out early both times. The last time was in 2000. I don't remember being there. That's how hard I hit.
Oh, man.
It's like they say the little 500, though, is if you can get through the start and get into about the 10th lap, and you haven't run over anybody or they haven't run over you, you're probably in pretty good stead.
Well, that hasn't been my experience. I made it through that crash out on lap 150 the second time I raced it, and in the race I don't remember, I crashed out on the 55th lap. So I haven't had much luck getting going past 10 laps. It didn't seem to work for me.
So a lot of it's, though, getting in a rhythm, right, in a race that long?
I think so. Again, we're used to racing with the wings down here, so you got to, again, feel what the car is doing, know when to pick up the throttle. You're carrying a big fuel load to start your run to the pit stop, and at the end, you're almost empty. So you got a lot of weight change in the process. You don't have the wing. Your tires are getting wore out. You got to gear yourself down to come in the pits and make a pit stop and then get yourself geared back up to blend into traffic. It's a whole different experience, but it's really neat. I hope to be able to do it again sometime, but now that I've experienced it, I want to be able to go back and be competitive, and that's a whole different ballgame there.
How many cars do they start in that race?
They start, it's
33.
Well, first of all, Anderson's a quarter-mile high-bank track,
right.
So it's about the size of Citrus, except with steeper banking.
Right.
And they start 11 rows of three, so 33 cars.
33 cars. That's why they call it the little 500. It's always the night before the big 500.
And how many people show up to make that 33?
I think the first year I went to try to qualify, I didn't make the race. I think there were 51 cars there that year. I think it's tailed off recently because to be competitive up there just takes so much bigger an effort than it used to be. You got to have lightning quick pit stops. You have to have the fuel apparatus to get the fuel in the car quick. Enough people to change the tires quick and all that. So,
and the grandstand.
Now, did I get that right? That young lady that was just up here, Wendy Mathis, finished
ninth. Oh no, eighth and
no, 11th and ninth.
Ninth and 11th. Wow. But the grandstands hold probably 15,000. something like that? Quarter mile?
I don't know if it's quite that
They're
big.
They're stacked way up. There's like 44 rows straight up, and it's, I mean, it's up.
Yeah, I know they fill the grandstands up for that race. The city of Anderson really supports that racetrack very well. And the racetrack owners there have ingratiated themselves in the community up there. Better, I think, than any racetrack I've ever been to. They do a real good job of being a part of the community there. And the community responds by supporting
them. The track
owner
told me he doesn't have any noise problem because there's so many people in there, and it's such a bowl, the noise goes straight up in the air.
It
don't go anywhere downtown.
That's right.
Cool. It's an awesome track and awesome race, and it's just a cool deal to get into.
I want to interject something here real quick. You had these rookies up here, the 16, 17-year-olds earlier, and I just want to say, as someone who's been around the sport for quite a while, they've done a fantastic job. A lot of times when you have guys that jump out of a go-kart into a sprint car, I know when I did it, it surprised me how much horsepower they had, and it got away from me pretty quick. So that's always your concern when you have a rookie out there. Are they going to be in your way? Are they going to lose the car or whatever? And they've done an excellent job this year. As a matter of fact, I think Michael Smith is running second or third in points right now as a rookie, as well as leading the rookie points. So he's really done a good job, and Eric's done an excellent job. He's coming along real good. As he told you, he won a heat race this year. And you had Troy DeCare up here. He's only been racing 3 years. He's already won several races. So you're asking Don about the future of our club, and it's people like that that have come along. Not only are they good drivers, but they handle themselves very well in the race car and out of the race car, and that's the future of our club.
So do you guys help them when you have the rookie field come in each year? Do the guys like yourself, do you help these guys along?
And it's not just
the rookies. Or do they got to make it on their own?
No, it's not just the rookies. We all help each other all along. You mentioned something about being family-oriented. And it's family in more ways than one. Where any of you grew up with siblings, y'all fought all the time, but you loved each other to death, and that's the way we are. We might get mad at each other and get out and start throwing punches and all that kind of stuff, and next week you're best friends again. And if anybody's having a problem, they have a mechanical problem, and there's something you can do to help them, people jump in there and do it.
I was going to say, there was a couple of owners and car drivers that over the years have told me they're always worried, not about those young rookies, the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, because they will listen to you, but it's that guy who's 44 and used to race light models and decided he's going to go sprint car racing that shows up that you got to sometimes worry about.
Fortunately, I've never really experienced that.
Dave Pletcher.
No, Dave did a good job. He was a good driver.
Dave was a real good racer.
Dave is great in everything.
The thing, too, about the guys who are in the taxi cabs, they have to be more aware of what's around them because they don't have to worry about getting over somebody's wheel because they have fenders. So they got these mirrors in the car, and they really have to be aware of what's around them. And so when they get in a sprint car, they seem to have that sixth sense that we develop in the open wheel cars without the mirrors. They seem to have that sixth sense about what's around them, how much room to give them, and all that kind of thing. So when he came in the sprint car, he adapted real well. He was a good driver.
That's awesome. It's been pretty cool. It's so cool to go see one. If you're out there, ladies and gentlemen, you've never seen a sprint car, you've never seen a race at all, go to DeSoto Speedway this week, watch the sprint cars, and you'll be hooked for life, I guarantee it.
Well, who's some of the sponsors on your race car helps you race?
Well, my car owner is Robert Stevenson, and his business is Stevenson International Shipping, and that is the sponsor on my car. He's really stepped up our program in the last few years. He made the commitment to get a new car built. We did that 2 years ago. We have a brand new engine in the car this year, one of those top of the line professionally built engines that never gives you any trouble and puts you up front if you can drive it. And so we've got a first class program going now with what he's put into it.
Well, hopefully everybody remind Don Ream this Saturday night that when you guys finish racing, I want the winner to call me on the air for short track drive after the races.
We'll arrange that.
Because it's always
Well, it's great having you on the show, brother.
It's great to be here.
Next time we get another one going, we'll definitely have you back on, man.
Great. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you.
Real quick before we end the show, let's get Jack Noling up here real quick.
Come on, Jack. Hurry. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. That's all you got to put up.
Come on down.
We got all night.
Jack's.
Yeah, we do.
Jack's
we got
looking,
all we got all
Jack's looking slimmer. Up. I think he trimmed his hair.
We'll beat you up, Bill.
How long have you owned race cars?
Oh, mercy.
Slide on up here close, but how long?
How long have I owned them?
I don't know. It's been
ever since you can remember,
30
right?
Years? It's been 25 or so?
Probably 30 years.
30 years? God.
I got inducted a little 500 this year, Hall of Fame, so that made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know you probably don't go that far, but I could have swore you ran at Golden Gate. it's been a while. You've been around it for a while.
Jack, real quick, while we got you up here, we're going to cover this real quick tonight, but we're going to have you back on before this whole deal goes on.
Okay.
The Florida 400.
Florida 400.
Where'd we come up with this idea?
Tell us about it.
Where'd we come up
Talk
with this
about idea? It. What do you want to know about it?
Where'd you come up with this idea to try 400?
$56,000 purse. We hope we get some TBRA boys here. I've had Eric Gordon enter. I've had we've got 12 cars entered so far. We're really not worried about it, but we need some of these boys to enter down here, you know. We're going to pay an extra $1,000 for 360s, best finish, you know.
Oh, cool.
What kind of, I mean, what kind of cars are we expected to see? Wingless.
How many cars?
Wingless. I mean, what, you know, the PRA, the big cars, the UTAC cars. Just plain, non-wing sprint cars. Non-wing sprint.
Any kind. 360, 410, any of them.
Pardon?
It'll be 360, 410, any of them?
410, 360s.
This is like the week of the PRI show, right? Or something, yeah. Right around there?
Right around there.
Not a PRI show.
No, I understand, but it's the same time.
In that neighborhood?
Same time as. Got a lot of people in Florida.
Okay, PRI was going to sanction the show. And we started out at $2,000, their sanction fee. Well, it ended up, after three meetings, it ended up $10,000. So John and I and two other boys decided we'd do it on our own. I've run racetracks before. I know almost everybody here. Everybody knows me some way or another. You know what I mean? So we're going to put it on and do our thing, you know.
That's cool. It'll
put the money back in the guy's pockets, the racer's pockets. Instead of
no doubt, man. Well, we're gonna dedicate a whole show to this thing.
Yeah, we're gonna have
coming
to.
Up by the end that. Of November. By the end of November, we'll have a bigger list of drivers that are going to be around for that show. So, Jack, it's great for you to show up for this TBRA show. I know you know a lot of these people, and like I said, we'll get this show on the road.
Okay, appreciate it very much.
Hey, we got to talk about TV.
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 That's right. MashTheGas.
Mash.tv.
That's right. If you want to see our ugly mugs after all these years, go ahead and check it out.
No, they got all kinds of videos. We'll check it out tonight. I haven't seen it myself, but they have a lot of videos from the TBRA.
Don Vinson? Is that his name?
Yep. We got to think about 400.
He owns the 52 car that Joey the Ace Aguilar drives. He's taping us tonight.
Silk cheeks.
Got some TV.
That's scary.
Up.
Scary thought.
Man, we got to thank all these people that were in the house tonight. Eric McMillan, Bo Hartley, Joey the Ace Aguilar, Paulie Milam, Don Ream, Michael Smith, Wendy Mathis, Charlie Ladner. We didn't get him on the air. Troy DeCare and Don Vissis, Mash the
David
Gas
Steele,
TV.
Dave Taylor Andrews.
Taylor Andrews.
Some phone calls.
Got to thank Budweiser.
Awesome. Sprint Car Bruce.
Sprint Car Bruce in the house. Good to see him again.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. Father Time.
Father Time.
Bill Hunt. Thanks, buddy.
It's that time of night, ain't it? Oh, yes.
Is it that time of night?
Take it to the limit. Real Racing USA.
Take care of yourself. We'll see you next week
night.
With a brand new show, Real Racing USA.
7 to 9 p.m. right here at the Smith River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. Good night now.
Tomorrow. limit one more time.